This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We're joined by Rick Britton, author, historian, always an educational experience when he drops by. How are you, sir?
Pretty good.
Oh, wait a minute. I got you. There it is.
Am I here?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay. I'm doing pretty good.
It's me not flying the plane right now.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's always fun to fill in for Coy, and he will be back tomorrow. We look forward to that very much so. And I'll try to – my feet are a little bit smaller than the big shoes. We'll see what we can do.
Well, it does look like you're flying a plane, though, with
exactly.
all those buttons and knobs.
This is crazy in here. But
yeah.
So tell me, my friend, you're always doing something. You're always active in our community and
I'm
educating
really
people. I commend you for that.
Oh, thanks.
So what's the latest that we can expect right now?
Well, I just wanted to tell everybody, we've got at the Senior Center, I do a lot of stuff with the great folks down at the Charlottesville Senior Center, and last month we started our Civil War lecture and day trip series. So every month, usually on the third Wednesday, we have a free talk about some aspect, some battle, some campaign. In this case, sometimes towns or cities here in Virginia during the Civil War. And then the very next week, we go and see that place, that battlefield, that historic site. And so coming up on Wednesday, June 23rd, a gentleman who's really great, Troy Marshall, he is the director of interpretation out at Newmarket Battlefield Park. He's coming to give us a talk about how the citizens in the Shenandoah Valley, specifically in the counties of Augusta, Rockingham, Shenandoah, and Frederick, how they handled the Civil War. So here's a talk about the citizens at home. And you can imagine, it must have been just horrific with the armies going back and forth through their property, burning, looting, all that stuff. So he's going to be telling us about that, so come on by. That's free. And then the very next week, on Wednesday, June 30th, we're going up to Winchester, and they've got a beautiful museum. I don't know if you've ever been, Jay James. It's called the Museum of the Shenandoah, and it's dedicated just to that, to teach people about what the Shenandoah Valley went through, the citizens, during the Civil War.
Yeah. It sounds fun. All right, man.
Yeah.
Well, great. Is there a website people can go to find out more information?
Absolutely, there is. It's www.seniorcenterinc.org, or they can call the great folks at the travel office at the Senior Center. It's 974-6538 to get some more information.
Great. We were having a brief conversation off the air, and it's always good listeners when we share what we said off the air with you. So I was sharing with you how I was watching the epic Ridley Scott film Glory from 1989.
That's a fantastic movie.
Really great movie.
I'm in that movie briefly.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Well, in the opening sequence, it's supposed to be the Battle of Sharpsburg. That's the Battle of Antietam to Northerners.
Yeah.
And there's a Confederate battle line that attacks the line that Matthew Broderick's unit is in. And I'm in the front of that battle line swinging my sword as a Confederate major. So I'm briefly in that film.
You know what? I'm going to look for that the next time.
Check it out. But it's probably the best Civil War movie ever made.
Yeah. Well, and there's one of many. And we had this conversation briefly the last time. I remember you talking with Coy. There's Civil War reenactment after Civil War reenactment. And we look at the history of our country from that point moving forward, and we still, a lot of people look back and they look at the different racial strife and situations that we've had in American history. And the one thing that pops up is that was a dark time because it was Americans killing Americans. Yet there is a unique fascination with that period of time. And I remember posing that question to you, and always a fascinating topic.
And it's a great question. And because you posed that question, I walk a few miles every morning. I've been thinking about that question a lot, Jay James, because that's a great question. Other people have asked me. Number one, it's human nature to be fascinated with tragedy. Unfortunately, I know that's just the way it is. I mean, think about the news media. Think about print and the station here. You know, you report on the tragedies that happen. So people are fascinated. They want to hear about that stuff. Like I said to you on the air that time, remember, where would the front page of major newspapers be if it wasn't for tragedy? I remember I worked in the mid-90s down at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and I got a chance to sit in at the A1 and B1 meetings where they would decide what went on the front cover, you know, on A1 and then on B1. And it's true, sad but true. If it bleeds, it leads. And so people want to hear about tragedy. So that's human nature. The other thing is that it is the Civil War in particular, those 4 years, those gut-wrenching 4 years, are the most cataclysmic event in America, the single event in American history. And that awful furnace that we went through forged the nation that we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And so without knowing about it, without studying it, without understanding the reasons, without understanding the motivations of everybody, we're not just talking about Southerners or Virginians, but everybody, you understand less where we are today, who we are today, and where we have a chance to go.
Mm-hmm.
By not looking back and understanding where we came from. And so it's the watershed of American history. It's the most important single event in American history.
425, as we talk with author and historian Rick Britton, we've delved into a little bit of looking at, I guess, sociologically,
looking
at the Civil War. I'm curious. I pretty much have three heavy questions left before we run out of time.
Uh-oh.
These are some humdingers. Are
I
you
hope
ready
we
for
can
them?
Make it. Oh, no.
Number
I think
one.
It's that last one. Okay.
Yeah, number one. Do you find... What's the reaction you get from not just African Americans, but Latino Americans, American Indians? Do they participate in reenactments to have the same fascination?
Oh, in reenactments, okay.
Reenactments or have the same fascination historically with the Civil War?
No, the answer is no. But somebody did a study about 10 years ago of African Americans to American journeying, visiting American history sites in particular. And the answer is they don't go to history sites in anything close to their proportion of population. And I think the reason is, it's sad, but it's the God's honest truth, is they're afraid that they're going to be offended by what they hear.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful right there.
It is powerful. So that was a tough question.
Yeah. Question humdinger number two.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Governor McDonald. We respect him. He's our governor. What did he honestly didn't mean this, we don't think. You know, now we're not going to talk about the proclamation, and I don't want to speak for him.
Oh, okay.
But when he said, and I don't want to misquote him, I want to be respectful.
Sure,
he intimated something to the effect of that he said something, I think it was the Civil War was not about slavery or something like that. Did he say something along those lines?
I didn't hear him say something like that.
Something like that.
Although I did hear in just in one place, so I don't know if this is true, but here I am repeating it on the air. Maybe I shouldn't, but I don't know if this is true, but that someone in the Sons of Confederate Veterans wrote the proclamation for him and his statement. Now, I heard that on the media one time,
so I don't know if that's true. Right. Yeah. So my question, I guess, would be what it caused. It just kind of reinvigorated, you know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
When that
and here
out.
In the
and
Commonwealth of Virginia.
And maybe it was a good thing because it caused that all these conversations. And here we are a month later still talking about it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a good thing.
Maybe it raised some things to the surface that we still need to work through.
Absolutely.
When it comes to
Absolutely.
That
Absolutely. And that's another reason that it's important to learn about the Civil War, because we have not overcome all the issues that brought about the war. We're working on them, and we're getting better, I think, but we haven't solved all those problems.
Now, here's the last three humdingers for you.
Wow.
He's like, man, I didn't expect this today.
Yeah, I know.
Now, one could argue, and you are a historian, so you can, and I've heard callers challenge and have a great kind of discourse with you about this issue, as we talk with Rick Britton, author and historian, expert on the Civil War, too, here at 428. The rhetoric politically, I've heard it was bad back in the time of the Civil War.
Oh, absolutely.
Granted, we were a different country. We were still being
Very
developed.
Different.
But it was, if you can argue that slavery's economic impact was one of the factors that went into the Civil War, at least people will agree on that, whether they agree one way or the other.
Right.
We are at a point in our nation where we just went through one of the worst economic, scenarios since the Great Depression. We made it through the Great Depression. And the political rhetoric is not the greatest now. And not one is saying that there's going to be a civil war by any means of the sort.
Oh,
but
no.
at the same time, I'm curious, how different was the rhetoric politically back then than it is now? And the reason I ask that is maybe some of our elected officials at the national level might want to pay attention to that because of what happened the last time.
Yeah, I don't think, we're not anywhere near a civil war. It would take something just
huge.
I know the rhetoric to bring us to civil war or to revolution again, I believe. But yeah, the rhetoric was awful. people in the South, the states in the South thought they had the right, and of course, unfortunately, it had been built into the Constitution, the right to own fellow human beings as property. And so as the 19th century went along, little by little, the country came closer to altering that. And people in the South who had a vested interest in that horrible institution, the peculiar institution, as it's called, they felt more and more threatened. So, yeah, the rhetoric was just amazing. And what the fire eaters in the South were able to do, and this includes preachers, this includes men of the cloth, what they were able to do is they were able to scare the Southern citizens into believing that Abraham Lincoln was an abolitionist and that his purpose was to end slavery. Now, some of the men in his party did have that in mind, but Lincoln was more conciliatory, and Lincoln at the beginning of the war just wanted to end the war any way possible. And if he could do it without, in that famous letter to Horace Greeley that was published, if he could do it without freeing any of the slaves, he would do it. He just wanted to end the war. Eventually, he turned it into a war to free the slaves.
Well, yeah. It's interesting because we can always learn. Those who don't learn from their history are doomed to repeat it,
absolutely,
my friend.
Absolutely right.
So hopefully we can learn it, because as Coy often argues on this program, Democrats and Republicans both demonize each other as if they're the this, and it's very dangerous when you get into that rhetoric.
Those people,
and that was the same thing that was going on. Those Northerners don't know exactly what we do here.
Oh yeah,
you know. So I don't want to get too far.
It's language that draws a line.
Yeah.
Now that you brought up Lincoln and Lincoln's party, it's funny nowadays to hear Republicans, who are mostly conservatives, of course, talk about their party being the party of Lincoln. Lincoln's Republican Party was the Liberal Party at the time.
Yeah.
So another good reason to learn about the Civil War.
Yeah, absolutely. You're opening up the whole. I threw the heavy lifting, man. We've run out of time, my friend. But I will. I always appreciate you coming in.
And, my pleasure, man. Good talking with you.
Is there a website where people can find more of your work or your?
They can go to rickbritton.com, www.rickbritton.com, and all my contact information is there, and they can shoot me an email.
All right. Sounds good.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.